Hi guys, and welcome to this, the last episode of Off the Grid Season 1. How can I pay for solar? I am not coming to you live from Milk Boss Beach today, because the weather outside is miserable, and I have a bit of a cold. So the first half of the episode is a simple explanation of the different ways that you can pay for solar, and that conversation is with Mark Duplessis from Looksee. And then the second half of the conversation is with my tax guy, Michael Rushby from Galbraith Rushby, an accountancy firm, and that conversation is about the tax rebates available for homeowners and businesses in building solar power systems. Feel free to listen to the first half and not the second half, or the second half and not the first half, but I think that the tax conversation is important and interesting enough to include in almost its entirety. This is the last episode of Season 1. I may, in fact, produce Season 2, possibly based around going through the actual process of building out a solar system with my family and another family. So let me know if you're keen for that. My email address is john@pinkproductions.net. If you want your own podcast produced and need my help, do the same thing. If you've got any questions, comments, thoughts, business proposals, sponsorship proposals for this show, just get in touch. And I hope you enjoy this last episode. Cheers.
We're going to pull together and we're going to find a way to get out of here. First, we're going to seal off this...
Solar power systems are not cheap. From what I've heard from my guests, they'll cost you anything between 70,000 rand and 1 million rand. They seem to average between 80,000 and 150,000, but that's still a very big chunk of change. So in this episode, let's look at some of the ways you can pay for or pay off a solar power system. None of these strategies include finding a really cheap supplier and getting a great deal. If someone is quoting you one third of the price of other suppliers, that's a red flag. For more red flags, check out episode 4, Who Can I Trust? Like everything else, your best option is to pay for it cash outright. Before you discard the idea of being able to afford that, have a think. Do you have assets that you can sell to offset the cost? A mountain bike, collectible cards, some furniture that you just bump into during load shedding anyway? Perhaps you're lucky enough to have a relative who can lend you the money at a lower interest rate. If that's the case, I suggest you still get a proper legal document in place that can hopefully stop any future disagreements before they start. To get a little bit more in-depth information from a financial institution, I chatted to Mark Duplessis, who's the head of Looksee, which is Standard Bank's semi-autonomous energy efficiency platform thingy. They do a lot of different stuff.
It was launched in August 2021, essentially as a home efficiency platform. So what we're trying to do in our mission is to try and help reduce the cost of home ownership as our core. And it's for anyone. It's not just for Standard Bank customers. Anyone can come and use the platform, get estimates, get site visits.
Okay, so how do people usually get solar?
What we're seeing in the market is there's really three ways that this is playing out. One is cash purchase. The other one is there's businesses that do rent to own. And then the third model that we're seeing a lot of is the subscription or lease model. So there's a few businesses who are doing that. Go Solar, Versify, Metro Watts, to name a few. There's a couple of businesses doing subscription.
Okay, let's rule out cash purchase because otherwise this would be a very short show. Let's expand on the other options.
At this stage, about 80% of customers that come in are using a home loan facility. So they would do a home loan re-advance, apply for access to funds based on their equity in their home and based on the valuation of their home. Some customers have an access facility available to them already, so that would be just drawing down on access funds.
This assumes you already have a home loan. If that's not the case, or you can't add on to your current loan, then there's the option of applying for a further loan.
And then there is also a further loan that can be applied for against the home and the valuation of the home, but that is quite a long process because it's a bond registration process. That takes a significant amount of time.
Significant costs, significant time, lawyers, lots of paperwork, not recommended. And then there's rent to buy, which is a lot like paying off a car. You just pay a monthly fee, usually starting at about 1,500 rand and going up to about 3,000 rand, with a payback period of about 6 or 7 years before you own the system. Some of the major players in the rent-to-buy financing game are Looksee and Standard Bank. Nedbank, who finances systems through their MFC model and through partnership with Home Energy, HOHM, and Uber, and Hippo for some reason. Capitec, Absa, all the major banks have their own version of this kind of financing.
Yeah.
This is a totally random interjection just to break the monotony of me talking. But one thing to consider is the fact that the cost of electricity is going to keep going up. It's going to skyrocket. So the returns you get in the system will increase as we go through time. Consider that when considering a solar power system. Now let's talk about leasing. Companies like GoSolar, GOSOLR.co.za, will give you a subscription to power, whereby you sign up with them, they install a solar system on your house, you pay them a fixed monthly fee for it, and at the end of your rental term, they take it all down and take it away, and you don't own a solar power system. This is a good solution for people who rent their properties rather than own them, because you can get the benefits of a solar power system without having to install them onto someone else's property. Lastly, there's power purchase agreements, which are similar to leasing, but you pay a reduced rate for the electricity rather than a flat rate for the system. This seems to be a more commercially focused product. Check it out if you want to power a business.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk.
Let's get back to that big 80% of people who extend their home loan. Mark's advice on paying that home loan extension off is the following.
Attempt to pay off your system, even if it's on your home loan and you've got, you know, 18 years left on your home loan, for argument's sake, pay off that portion as fast as you can in line with the warranties, just to be safe, you know. So don't spread it over 20 years. And with the solar systems, of course, is that opportunity to net off or to take the funds that you were spending on your utility bills and deploy those into your home loan as extra funds. So sample of one, I took 120,000 Rand out of my home loan and I put in a 8 kilowatt inverter, 5 panels and 2 batteries. My Eskom bill on average was between 3,000 and 3,500 per month, and I am now between 600 and 1,200. So I've got 2,000 Rand that I didn't have before because I was giving it to Eskom, that I can choose to service that piece of my bond faster, or I can also choose to take my family for dinner. But I didn't have that choice before, you know. So that's just an example of where that is for my personal experiences.
Before we get into the tax rebate conversation, I asked Mark about what his strategy has been so far. And as a professional in the industry, I assume it's quite informed. Let's find out.
So for me, I started with the geyser, and we recommend that all homes start with your geyser. It can be up to 40% of your electricity bill, usually maybe a bit lower, 30-odd%, but geysers are very, very thirsty. The smart geyser is a great innovation because it's quite convenient and it's technology-enabled IoT device. It's also got leak detection so that if the geyser might burst, it gives you basically alerts and warnings so that you can replace the geyser with your insurance company before it bursts and creates a whole lot of mess. And then obviously managing your geyser, reducing the amount of time that it's boiling or heating water is a big recommendation. Stove and oven is the next area. Can you get a gas stove installed and gas ovens to an extent? But typically gas stoves are popular as a way of reducing that burden. And what's really fascinating is it's visibility of and information that creates the behavioral change. So when you don't see what you're using every day, you don't think about it. For example, when we got our inverter, I have the app and I can see it, and I'll be at night and I get grumpy with my family because, like, what's on? You know, why are we using so much power? But I never had that visibility before.
I can attest to this. When I visited friends in the UK recently, they had a little power meter panel in their kitchen that recorded how much energy they were using, how much they used yesterday, what their target was, what percentage they were over, and so on. By visualizing that data, it really made a big difference, I believe, in how much they consumed. Something that's useful that comes along with the solar power system, but also something to think about. I'm not sure if there are any end user products that do that for people without solar systems. If there are, please let me know. Email me at john@pingproductions.net and I'll put them in the show notes.
Hasta la vista.
Here endeth the lesson on options for paying for solar power systems. Now, let's talk about tax. Rebates, getting some sweet money back when you install a solar power system. For this conversation, I turned to Michael Rushby, my personal tax guy. He is a founding partner at Galbraith Rushby, an accounting firm, and they've always been great to me. So I had no hesitation in turning to Michael for his advice. So strap in for tax conversations. First off, what are the rebates for a homeowner?
So for the period 1st of March 23 to the 20th of February 24, if you do a home solar system, SARS will allow you to claim back 25% of the solar panels only as a tax credit against whatever tax you've paid, with a cap of 15,000 Rand.
So notice there, 15,000 Rand cap and only on the panels.
The important thing to remember there is if you're not paying tax, you don't get the tax back. It's not a tax back, it's just a credit towards any tax that you have to pay in. So someone who is unemployed earning no income wouldn't get a refund, but someone who's earning a salary or self-employed or has investment income, you'd get a solar tax credit effectively against whatever tax was due.
One last proviso, the time cap.
It is currently only for the current year, so up until the end of February 2024. My assumption is that they'll probably extend it for another year.
So how does it actually work?
So the actual mechanics of it haven't been totally formalized by SARS yet. At the moment, there's a draft notice. Effectively, it should mirror exactly what the budget speech said.
And who exactly gets the credit?
Who gets the credit? If you and your wife own the house collectively, do you split the credit 50-50? Do you each get your own credit? My assumption is if you pay for half and she pays for half, you would both effectively wind up getting that 15,000.
Hold on, say that part again.
There's potentially a 15 grand per taxpayer on the table to claim for any sort of solar setup.
Okay, so my wife and I share the payment of the bond, but my mother-in-law lives with us. If she contributes to the panels, does she get the benefit?
My understanding is it isn't linked to ownership. It's all based on who pays, because it also would cover someone who's renting. So if you're renting a house and you make an arrangement with the landlord to fit solar panels on the roof, you would be entitled to get that incentive if the invoice is made out to you and you've made the payment for those panels.
Sounds like an opportunity for shenanigans.
It absolutely is. I mean, the one talk I was on, the guy said he is waiting to see the adverts where buy these panels and the inverters come free.
What are those numbers again?
It's 25% of the panel spend with a maximum of 15,000. Yeah, if the panels were 100,000 Rand, a 25% would be 25 grand, but they put a cap in at 15,000.
So for those of you who are into maths, to optimize this situation, if between you and a partner who are buying the panels together, you would spend 120,000 Rand on panels and get 15,000 Rand off each, so 30,000 Rand off. But since panels cost between 4 and 6,000 Rand, your system would have between 20 and 30 panels, which is quite a lot of panels.
But it's also brought into use for the first time, so you can't buy it and then sell it to your partner. You buy half and your partner buy half, and then you each get 25% capped at 15,000. And there's got to be a formal sign-off, so there's a bit of paperwork involved, which you'll probably have to be submitting with your tax return. Exactly what paperwork and who must have signed it off and by when, unclear at this point. I think it's a fantastic incentive. It's the best time to be putting solar on, because it definitely won't last forever.
Hasta la vista.
Okay, so that pretty much covers private homeowners. Let's talk about businesses.
So from March, SARS really wanted to incentivize businesses to also bring in more renewable components to their infrastructure. So they increased the 100% write-off on an under 1 megawatt setup to being 125%. So if a business spent 100,000 Rand, they would get 125,000 Rand tax deduction. So it was a really, one, you get it as an immediate deduction, but also you're getting a deduction bigger than the amount you actually spend.
Sure.
Which is a very unusual. You don't often see something like that. The other interesting benefit is it's not limited to just panels. So it would include inverters, it would include batteries, it would include piping, it would include insulation, it includes all the costs connected with that switchover, and it's at 125% of what you spend.
Sure. And that for a business could be million rand system.
Easy. Yeah, easy. And it's also, if it's financed, you still get the deduction. So in other words, if the bank lends you the million rand for your million rand, you still get the 101.25 million rand tax deduction.
And is that tax deduction spread out over the payment period of the loan, or is
no.
it instantaneous? Wow.
No,
okay. That's a way to make money.
Yeah. So you can actually wind up ahead from a tax perspective, just by introducing some debt to the system. So, I mean, that's a fantastic thing because it's much broader. With a home-based one, it's just panels. It's not inverters and batteries and anything like that. The business one is everything. So it's 125% of the total thing.
Okay, so now let's talk about people who are freelancers or run their business from home. This is where it gets complex but interesting.
A deduction is only a deduction if it's incurred in the production of income. So the reason it works with a business is because we've got an accounting firm. We installed solar and batteries and inverters in our offices. The offices are exclusively work-related. It's used by staff. So we can get that deduction against our accounting income that we're producing. Someone working from home is a bit more complicated because it's both business environment as well as personal environment. And you've got to try and untangle what portion of that solar system is a business cost versus a personal cost. That's quite a difficult thing when you're considering, I mean, do you measure just what your business uses versus what you personally use? That probably is, I think, the way SARS would want a kind of a home-based business. The arguments I've heard around that are the sole purpose I'm doing it is because I work from home and I've got to be contactable by clients and I'm doing online stuff. So I have to have 8 hours of power. And so that's why I've got that system. I think that's going to be a tougher argument to have with SARS to try and get the full solar system through as kind of a business cost if you are working from home. I think in that scenario, it largely depends on the size of the system. So if you've set up a system big enough to power your pool and your dishwasher and your fridges and everything else, it's very difficult to argue that it's... But if it's a smaller system, you power your computers and your home office infrastructure and there's spillover into home, but it's really primarily there to cover the home office related costs, then I think you would succeed in the 125% claim. But otherwise, you would just have to make an apportionment. You would have to say, well, this portion is personal, this portion is business. You could then wind up with two claims. You could apportion that installation between your business and you're getting the 125% deduction of that. And then the personal, you can then go down the 25% of the panels route.
So how do you present this to SARS? Is it something that's done on the tax return or do you have to go and apply for it? What are the nuts and bolts?
I think everything comes in the next submission because this would be the submissions only start now with the claims. It will definitely be a focal area of the receiver revenue because it's new and I think they will be concerned about abuse.
So if I'm going to go ahead with this kind of thing, I'm basically trying to figure out how much I'm going to apportion to business spend and how I'm going to justify that to SARS, right? So what would a reasonable, because I think it would be very, very reasonable to say, for example, and very easy to defend, to say, I'm just offsetting the costs of internet and lights for the 8 business hours of the day. Like that shouldn't be a problem. That's easy mode, right? But a lot of offices have fridges and they have microwaves and they have hot water running for their staff. So would it also be a viable argument to say, and I'm also going to claim 8 hours of hot water and electricity to run the fridges and all that kind of thing? Or would they say no?
They'd say no, because the purpose of that is not work. It's still predominantly a personal cost. And take the fridge, for example. I think the majority of the content of the fridge is personal.
Right. Just a sandwich for work.
Yeah.
So, it's just 3% of the fridge's cost.
And the bar, if you're in full-time employment, I think it's almost an impossibility. I don't want to say impossible, but it's very, very, very difficult to claim that as a business cost because the limitation on what qualifies as a home office cost is very narrow, very small, and the bar to get over is very high. I think it's more the someone who's self-employed, working from home, a freelancer, for example, who isn't earning a fixed salary. I think there is a slight more broader spectrum of what qualifies as a business cost. But it again, comes down to the substance of the argument. Is the purpose of it predominantly to power your home office, your work environment? Or is it to provide the home with power and you're just working from home as kind of a byproduct? There definitely should be some sort of an apportionment. I don't think there's any hard science on how that apportionment should be done.
Okay, so it's like a lot of tax stuff. You guess and then you get flagellated for it later.
I think under a 100,000 rand system, if you're doing a lot of work from home, you're a self-employed freelancer, a 100,000 system isn't going to power an entire house. And I think the argument there is a lot stronger than someone spending 200, 250,000 for a home-based system. So I think it's a case-by-case process.
So to summarize, for homeowners, there's the up to 15,000 rand rebate on solar panels, 25% or up to 15,000 rand, capped at that. And for businesses, there's 125% tax rebate on an installation for business purposes. And if you work from home, if you're a freelancer, then you can install a small system or you can claim an apportionment of the system that you install. When I asked Michael about what the future for these rebates and any future rebates may include, he had an interesting answer.
There's definitely going to be some schemes built around it, for sure. There are already several schemes on the go, which are, I mean, very interesting. I mean, it's a way for individuals to invest in solar projects and get tax rebates and effectively returns based on their investment. So there's a few investment options in the solar space for individuals to do, which is almost a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah. I mean, so what you're kind of talking about as a scheme is let me help other companies install solar and then I get like a massive tax rebate and I'll finance all of them.
So because I've kind of realized there was quite a big gap, so we've created a fund that individuals can put money in and effectively invest in other businesses' solar projects and get a return on their money through that.
Okay, so Michael and I had a really interesting conversation about their fund and using these rebates as an investment vehicle, but I don't think it's relevant to the practical guide to load shedding. So if you want to find out more about this fund and others like it, you can follow the link that I left in the show notes. Otherwise, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I want to thank you for listening to the show. It has been a journey of discovery in production, in storytelling, in research, in journalism, I suppose. And I'm hoping that it gave you some value and it taught you something and it's going to help you get through this whole load shedding debacle. One last huge thank you to all of my guests over the series: Jean-Claude Malengret, Kadri Nasip, Mark Duplessis, Matthew Cruz, Michael Rushby, Neil Barrow, Shane Akar. They've all been fantastic and I thank them for their contribution. My website is pingproductions.net if you want to chase down any other shows I'm producing, which is quite a few of them. I look forward to hearing from you and you hearing from me in the future. Still here? You know how few people actually hang around for the sign-off? If you look at listener stats on podcasts, I mean, they just drop the moment anyone gets a whiff that that's the end of the episode. So you're a special person. Let me give you a little Easter egg here. How about a 4-minute radio play about what if James Bond was evil?
Wakey, wakey, Mr. Bond! Welcome back to the land of the temporarily living, Mr. Bond. Yes, it is I, Nemestro! Before I dispose of you, I suppose we should see what kind of clever gadget you have with you. We wouldn't want any embarrassing escapes now, would we? Yes, a watch. No doubt containing some kind of laser cutting device. Oh, leather belt. With, oh, Mr. Bond, a punching dagger built into the buckle. Ugly. Lace up leather brogues. Oh, very tacky. Doesn't seem to be anything going on here.
The laces had a garrot.
A garrot?
It's a simple loop of wire, Nemestro, and I'm going to strangle you with it. If I pull hard enough, it can get down to the bone.
What about these monogrammed cufflinks?
They're injectors.
Oh, yes. Some sort of sleeping potion, I'm sure.
The left one injects a ball of radioactive polonium-210 into your body, and you get cancer 3 months later. The right one gives you cancer straight away.
A bow tie?
Fires a dart tipped in necrotic venom.
Oh, suspiciously heavy tuxedo cummerbund.
Explodes, and it's full of ball bearings.
A pair of sunglasses?
They call in an airstrike.
What's the range on the sunglasses?
About 10 feet.
Oh, and how large a blast radius would you expect a drone strike to have?
About 100 feet.
Right.
Nemestro, MI5 knows where I am. They'll come for me.
Well, I rather think they won't, Mr. Bond. I left a little note in your hotel room explaining that you were checking into a clinic for a few weeks to get back onto the 12-step program. I think they'll be quietly encouraging and give you your space until long after my deadly satellite is in position to strike. I've thought of everything.
That's what they all say before I escape.
Oh, yes.
Surrender, Nemestro, or in 1 minute I'll be free and you'll be dead.
Oh, Mr. Bond, and how are you going to escape and send me to a swift doom?
I'll pick the locks on these handcuffs in about 2 seconds, and by the time you call your minions into this chamber, I'll be free. Free to pluck out my left eye, which contains a micro-grenade filled with more deadly ball bearings. I'll mop up the survivors with my sharpened throwing fingernails and save the last one, my right pinky, for cutting your throat like this. Like this. And,
yes, well, you see, I had the handcuffs fitted with combination locks. But sharpened throwing fingernails? What happened to your actual fingernails?
I get them removed every few weeks. They grow back.
Oh, right. Look, I was planning on suspending you just above a pool of electric eels with my four most moronic guards playing poker nearby. But frankly, I don't really want to meet you again.
You're letting me go?
Absolutely not. I can't risk having you come back to kill me with your ninja toenails and radioactive poison and drone strikes. No, I'm just going to back away slowly from this table, turn around and leave. And you'll probably die of dehydration in a few days.
Why don't you just shoot me, if you're so practical?
For all I know, your lungs are full of anthrax that gets released when you die. And I might set off that eye grenade thingy. No, I'm just going to leave you right there. Close the door and join my minions at the holiday lair for the week. I mean, wow. James, MI5 got dark.
I'll come for you, Nemestro. I'll tear out your tongue and kill everyone you've ever loved.
Oh, you know what? You make me feel like I'm the good guy. Goodbye, Mr. Bond.